Did you know that this book, this Bible, is actually God's personal letter to each one of you? You know, it is your instructions on how to live this life here on earth and also how to have eternal life. So why is it that there are so many people that this Bible means nothing to them? In other people's, it means everything to them. You know, you think about that. What are your thoughts about the Bible? When was the last time you read it? You know? Is it something that you just read now and then or on special occasions? Or do you look at it as past history when actually it's telling us all about the future as we're learning downstairs, you know? Most people, if you tell them to read their Bible, they just tell you, yeah, right. You know, what good's that going to do? You know, but when you understand what I mean, it could be a revelation to you and it will change your life. You see, the Bible is not just a textbook. It's not just a notebook or a storybook or a history book. It's a handbook for living. It is the wisdom of Almighty God that has been written down to help you apply to your life each and every day. Proverbs 4:7 tells us wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. So God says that wisdom is the principal thing. Principal means the first in importance. That means the Word of God needs to be occupying the highest place in your life, the most important thing in all your activities. Joshua 1:7-8 tells us that if we want to prosper and succeed, that we need to be strong and courageous. We need to obey God and read and study His Word. So this morning, let's get started with 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And the Word of God tells us, and we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the Word of God, when you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers. If we take the Word of God as just human origin and not divine revelation, it will never show itself sufficient to help you abide in the fiery trials which just, you know, many Christians face each and every day. But he who embraces the Word of God is a truth of God, and from the love of the truth will have a faith to abide in each and every trial. In other words, if you see the Bible as just a storybook or history book, it's not going to work for you. But if you look at it and read it as God's Word and apply it, then it'll help you and you'll have the faith that can face any trial. God's Word will set you free. There's a couple of things I want to share this morning about the Bible. And I'll start with number one, it is life-changing. So Luke 8:11, in the parable of the sower, Jesus says, the seed is the Word of God. Now you think about the seed represents the Word of God communicated in any manner. It could be through scripture reading, it could be through preaching, it could be through providence, it could be God speaking to you, or it could be through the influence of the Holy Spirit. When you think about a seed, we may not understand the power that's within a seed, but when you think about a seed, if you put it in good receptive soil, it's going to grow. It's going to produce. It won't just sit there and do nothing. I heard, been quite a while back, but I heard one time where they found seed that was in one of the pyramids in Egypt, and they went and planted that, and it grew. And just think how many thousands of years that could be on some of them. And yet it grew. Likewise, the Bible is the Word of God. It is a seed which also effectively works in you and me, and if we will believe what, like 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, the Word of God changes lives. For those who have received Christ and the Word, look at where you were before and look where you're at today. All because you believe the Word of God. It is life-changing. So let's look at Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10, 9 and 10 in the NIV says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. When you obey and do what the Word of God tells us, life-changing things take place in your life. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, we become a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We read that this morning downstairs too. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you become a new creation. In other words, God has brought about a spiritual transformation in you, and your identity is tied to your new birth. Your spirit man is made alive. You are no longer the old man that you used to be. You're not dead and in sin. You are no longer who you once were. The old has passed away. Therefore, you are called to live in accordance with your new identity. But we have to obey the Word and what it tells us. We can receive Christ as our Lord and Savior and go to heaven, but if that's as far as we go, we're not going to make any changes to our lives down here on earth for the better. The Word of God tells us to renew our minds to what the Word says instead of what the flesh tells us. Your mind, will, and emotions can lead you down the wrong path if you don't renew them. The flesh will never line up with the Word of God unless you make it line up. Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will and perfect will of God. So why renew your mind? You know, because the world is programmed negatively. The world thinks sickness, fear, doubt, defeat, failure. You know, that's because the world without God is in spiritual death. Change, transform, transfigured, those are powerful, exciting words, and they describe what will happen to you when you spend time beholding the Lord in His Word and in prayer. As you spend time renewing your mind, your outer being is transformed in much the same way as a caterpillar is changed into a butterfly. Instead of conforming to the world or to the image of the world, you'll begin to conform to the image of the reborn spirit within you, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. This will not happen overnight, as you well know. It's a lifetime. You're not in a sprint. You're in a marathon. You know, it's going to be a lifetime, but you keep working at it. You keep running. Keep running the race. To present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, means complete and total surrender. Think of this. It's the difference between what a chicken and a pig brings to a bacon and egg sandwich or breakfast. The chicken makes a contribution. The pig gives everything. Think about it. What we often do to do with God is to give him an egg here and an egg there. You know, but God wants sacrifice, ham and bacon. He wants all of you. Think about it. He doesn't want to share you with anyone. He wants you. You know, think about your own spouse, you know. You don't want to share them with anyone else, you know. You want them, you don't want a halfway relationship with them. You know, you want their total commitment. Well, God's the same way. He wants all of you. Feeding the flesh and all its desires will never strengthen the spirit man in you, but feed the spirit man inside you the Word, and you can become a spiritual giant. God's Word must be settled, and a settled issue in our life. Heaven is the supreme court. When it rules on a matter, it's settled. Since God's Word is a settled issue in heaven, the question is it a settled issue in our lives? Jesus tells us in Mark 13:31 that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Psalms 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." The Bible never needs updating. It's perfect and can't be improved upon. That's why Jesus instructs us in John 15:7 to remain in his words, you know, abide in him. You see, Jesus' words abides in the measure that they govern our lives, in the measure that we act upon them. If Jesus' words abide in us, we are bound to have faith because the Bible says so in Romans 10:17. It would be impossible for Jesus' words to abide into a person and that person not have faith if they're abiding in it. But notice the word abide. It means that you accept and act in accordance to what the word says. Unbelief and doubt are a result of ignorance of the word of God. God's word will change your life. Look at John 10:10. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So what does Satan do to get your eyes off of the world or off of the word? He brings storms, hard times, temptations, anxieties, fears, doubts, problems, and anything else you can mention to get your mind off of the word. All of which is to get your minds off of what the Word of God tells us. That's why Jesus instructs us to program our minds on the Scriptures, or with the Scriptures. Renewing our confused minds to the Word of God brings our thoughts in line with His. So that we think God's thoughts. Renewal allows God to merge His thoughts with ours, and that He can bring His plans together into our lives. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Number two, the word of God works. Let's look at Isaiah 55:11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Notice the word "sent." Every word God speaks is on a mission and is guaranteed to accomplish the mission in accordance with his will, his strategy, and his timing. Remember this: God's word will work for anyone who will put it to work. It will work for you just like it worked for Jesus when he walked the earth. When Satan was tempting him, Jesus said, "It is written." You know, no matter what the devil tries to tell you, refuse to let go of the word. We got to fight back with the word. Let the word fight for you. It will whip the devil every time. Listen, you're in a battle. You think about it. You've got God on this side for you. You've got Satan on this side against you. And guess who's in the middle? Guess who's going to decide which way you're going to go? You are. Choose God. Let's read Romans 4:17. "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were." Those things which God foretells and promises are so certain that he may speak of them as already in existence. Think about Abraham. Instead of God simply promising that he would make him the father of many nations, he speaks it as already done. "I have made thee." In his own mind or purpose, it was so certain that he spoke it as already being done. The Bible says Abraham believed God, who calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Based on this verse, some people think that whatever you want, they can simply speak into existence. But if you read that verse again, Abraham didn't speak Isaac into existence. God did. Abraham simply believed God and acted on his promise. As a result, Isaac was born. So think about it. When you go and But when you know what the Bible says and base your request on the Word, you can call those things which be not as though they were, because you're basing it on what God's already said. Everything in our life, we base on what God has already promised us. Whatever it is. God speaks promise after promise to us in the Bible. All we need to do is simply believe and act on them. And those promises God made for us can be ours. Let's read verse 20 and 21. He, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Your faith must be in God, not in your faith. You know, in and of itself, faith has no creative power. It just affirms what already exists in the unseen world and in what God has promised, knowing that in his time it will come to pass because it's his will. Whatever you claim by faith must be based on what God has already clearly promised you in his word. Everything we deal with concerns the word of God. Just like Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So how about you and I? Can we take God at his word? Can we call those things which be not as though they were? Can we stand our ground when sickness tries to enter our bodies and can declare that by his stripes we are healed? Can we declare the bill paid in Jesus' name and not give in to the enemy when he tells us that ain't going to happen? Can we stand on the word of God when the enemy throws fear in your face and the storms of life seem to be taking you under? We can if we stand on the word of God. We stand on what God has spoken. Number three, it is creative. Let's look at 2 Peter 3:5. Passion Translation states it like this: but they conveniently overlook that from the beginning, the heavens and the earth were created by God's word. He spoke and the dry ground separated from the waters. By God's word, the heavens came into being and the earth was formed. God's word was powerful enough to create all that exists. He didn't strive or sweat. He just spoke, and it was accomplished. God's word is full of power, creative energy, and life. When God created the universe, he used the word as a carpenter would use a hammer. God builds with his word. When God speaks, his word carries out his every bidding. His word is what's controlling the universe. So think about, what are you speaking over yourself and over your situations and circumstances, over others? You know, death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21 says. Watch what you're saying out of your mouth. Creation was established by God's words in response to the words spoken by Jesus. With faith-filled words, Jesus calmed the raging sea. With faith-filled words, Jesus raised the widow's son. With faith-filled words, Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb. Jesus spoke creative words to the man with a withered hand. Jesus spoke healthy words to the woman with a spirit of infirmity. To the paralytic, Jesus spoke, take up thy bed. In Matthew 8:5-13, the centurion, knowing the authority and the power of Jesus' words, proclaimed, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. The word of God is the living word. It carries with it the power to accomplish the things that it declares. Human words can only speak of what is, but God speaks of things that are not yet done and then creates them by the power of his word. Think about somebody who's born again. You know, one moment you're on your way to hell, the next moment, because you believe the word of God, you're taken from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, just like that. That's what God's word can do. It can make you a new creature in Christ. As we personally grasp the promises found in the word of God, our lives are changed. And we can help others to grasp these amazing promises also when we share with them, because the Holy Spirit can change their lives. And number four, it is authoritative. Luke 4, 32 and 36, the Amplified says, "And they were surprised, almost overwhelmed at his teachings, because his message was given with authority and power and great ability." In verse 36 in the NLT, it says, "Amazed, the people exclaimed, 'What authority and power this man's words possess. Even evil spirits obey him, and they flee at his command.'" The forces of the darkness around us today must recognize and submit to the Word of God. Matthew 28:18 says, "Then Jesus came close to them and said, 'All the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.'" In Luke 10:19, the Passion Translation tells us, Jesus told his disciples, "Now you understand that I have imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority." And you wonder why the world's in the mess it is. We're not walking in the authority Christ has given us. And yet people blame God for it all. Got to get our eyes on the right problem there, you know. Jesus says, "I have given you authority." And Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. That means God said it. "Therefore, if God said, 'I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy.'" Serpents and scorpions represents demons and evil spirits and the power of the enemy. God himself is the power, the force behind the authority. Behind the authority possessed by the believer is a power greater than the power that backs the enemy. And those enemies are compelled to recognize that authority. 1 John 4:4 tells us, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." The resurrection was opposed by all the tremendous powers of the air. These evil forces endeavored to defeat the Son of God. But these powers were overthrown by our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has been enthroned far above them, ruling with authority of the Most High. The source of our authority is found in his resurrection and the seating of Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6 tells us, "And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So you want to know how to put the devil under your feet? Get seated with Christ. Become part of the family of believers and seat yourself in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's easy to picture Satan underneath your feet when you're seated up there with Christ. It's where he belongs. Your life must be governed by the Word of God, not your impulses, your thoughts, or the opinions of those around you. The Bible is not God's attempt to offer you interesting insights or advice in your consideration. It's his fixed opinion. Matthew 7, 24 and 25 tells us, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." This builder's foundation withstood the storms of life, all because he was sound founded upon the rock. But then the next two verses, Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is foolish, and the storms of life sweep them away." Now, Jesus didn't command or condemn the second man for building an inadequate structure or failing to hear, understand, and believe his words, but for failing to act on them. You know, James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Another version says, "Obey God's message. Don't fool yourself by just listening to it." James 1:25 tells us, "However, the person who continues to study God's perfect teachings that make people free and who remains committed to them will be blessed. People like that don't merely listen and forget. They actually do what God is teaching to say. If we think about reading and knowing and even believing God's word as fulfilling our obligations to it, we are mistaken, because it is God's word and his instructions are to obey. That requires not just believing it, but also behaving according to it. James didn't say you would be blessed because of what you believe. It's because of what you do. You know, the devil doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't care if you read your Bible, as long as you don't apply it. When you apply it, it's a whole other story then. You have to be a doer of the word. That's where the victory comes from. When Moses read the word to the Israelites in Isaiah 24:7, he said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do," the people said, "and be obedient." And that's where we must be. That must be our rule of living too. But what happens when life seems too hard? Do you try tackling it with help from outside sources? Or do you turn to the Word of God and your inner man where God speaks to you? You know, the Word of God tells us in Jeremiah 32:27, he says, "Behold, I am the Lord, God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" When it comes to worry, anxiety, stress, and fear, much of it is brought on because of our need to know everything about what's ahead of us, to be in control. Even after we praise and supposedly turn the problem over to God, many people live by the philosophy, hope for the best and plan for the worst. But when you think about that statement, there's no faith involved at all in that statement. You know, our faith stands on the Word of God. And His Word, no, you never give up on it. God's Word, you need to be expectant. A lot of people aren't expectant. They plan for the worst when God wants the best for you. Think about it. We don't put our money in the bank and then stay awake all night worrying about it. So let's have at least that much faith in God. When you find yourself in the downward spiral of how, what, when, and where, give it to God. Not the limited God of our understanding, but the unlimited God whose track record speaks for itself, whose faithfulness never fails, and who has earned the right to say, "Is anything too hard for me?" Genesis 18:14. Jesus never suffered from the fear of failure like we do, because he never entertained the thought that he couldn't do something that his Father had told him he could do. And he didn't suffer from lack at all to any. And he was responsible for himself plus a whole group of others. So how did he do it? The Bible says he prayed and stayed in constant touch with his Heavenly Father by reading the Word and praying. And that's how we can stay in constant touch with the Father. So let's put the Word to work. If you're worried about making ends meet, read Psalms 37:25. "I have been young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Let's stop trying to figure everything out and start leaning on God. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths." God may not give you everything you want, but he will give you everything you need. Matthew 6:31-33 says, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows what your needs are. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." 1 Peter 5:7 in the Amplified says, "Casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares about you with deepest affections and watches over you very carefully." You see, Satan, he triggers your mind. He's after your mind. And his weapon is a lie. And his purpose is to make you ignorant of God's will. But your defense is the inspired word of God. So read the word and guard your mind with the word. As we renew our mind to the word, we start casting our cares on him, and his peace then comes upon us. When we put the word to work, the devil has to flee. It's what the word says. So it's kind of hard to know what is written in your Bible if we never open the pages of it. The Bible is meant to be bread for daily use. Your spirit needs fed every day, not just on certain occasions. So think about using the Word of God when you pray. The old saying, prayer changes things, takes on new meaning when we use the Scripture in prayer. Such prayers move God to act on your behalf because you're praying His Word. More importantly, they change you. So as I stated earlier, the Bible is not just a textbook or a storybook or a history book, but it's a handbook for living. Is God giving you His wisdom, writing it down for you so that you can read it and follow it each and every day of your life and applying it? Learn to use the Word of God in the areas that you're having trouble with or in hard times with, where you're not victorious. Remember, God's Word is life-changing. It works, it's creative, and it's authoritative. So in closing, God's Word is the one constant that we can go and always go to. It is the firm foundation that we know we will never fail. It will never fail us. By keeping the Bible on our lips, studying it, meditating on it, and obeying it, you will never be the same. Ask anyone who has been in the Word for a long time. So where have you placed the Word of God in your life? You know, you think about some people, they probably don't know it's in a box somewhere in their house, you know. Some people, it may be on a shelf with all their other books. Some people have it on their coffee table where they can glance at it now and then. You know, we need to have it in front of us all the time. We need to have it available each and every day. You're never going to know what Christ did for you if you never open it up and see. How important is the Word to you? John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14 it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word that came and dwelt among us. So if Jesus is the Word, then the real question is, how important is Jesus to you? Think about it. When you read the Word, it is Jesus talking to you. The words that Jesus speaks to you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh could care less about the Word. But your spirit man inside you will grow, and when you read and apply the Word. Each one of us is spirit, soul, and body. You know, when we feed the body every 3 meals a day, we need to do the same thing with the spirit, you know. We need to apply the Word, because our spirit man is what's going to live forever. If you don't apply the Word, your flesh will rule, and you will never know the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and all He did for us. The Word of God will never return void. It is full of promises of God for His children. Promises that will put the devil beneath your feet where he belongs. And the last scripture is in Hebrews 4:12. It says, for we have the living Word of God, which is full of energy, and it pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. That's how powerful God's Word is. So don't be one of those people that the Bible means nothing to, but rather take it all in. The words of the Bible are spirit, and they are life, and they are speaking to you. So if anybody needs prayer or anything, you know, feel free to come down.